Oh, but many years ago, 30 some odd years ago, I was minister of music and youth here. I looked a little bit different. I had a little more hair back then. I was a lot taller and better looking, but what an awesome day to be here. Thank you for inviting my beautiful wife and I to celebrate. I wasn't going to do that today. To celebrate your pastor and our papa. You people are the gold standard on how all churches should love their pastor. So I speak on behalf of myself and my family and say thank you. Thank you for loving my family. They adore y'all. And God is using you in their life. So I'm done crying. Amen. You ready to go home? Let's eat. But thank y'all for being here. It's so good to have my beautiful wife with me today. She keeps me humble, which is not hard, but I was speaking at our church, and I had really prepared something great, I thought, and I had spoken. As I sat down, I felt my phone going off, and I thought, oh, I looked at it, and it was a text from my wife, and I thought, oh, she's going to tell me, good job, babe. Good job, babe. You really let the Spirit lead you today, and I was looking at my phone, and she said, we can hear you breathing in the microphone. And who you mad at? Why are you hollering so much? But thank y'all for letting us be a part of today. It's so good to see one of my best friends in my entire life, Chris Moore, and his family. I love you. God saved his life many years ago. He was a Tennessee fan. And he turned overnight into an Alabama fan, so God has saved him. And it's so good to see some old faces, not old in age, but old. I hadn't seen you in a while, from Decatur, Alabama. My family, I love y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, I am so glad that you are here today. I'm reminded of a woman, a mother who went in to get her son up for church. She says, get up, it's time to go to church. He says, I'm not going to church. She says, what do you mean you're not going to church? He says, I'll give you two reasons why I'm not going to church. One, I don't like them people. And two, they don't like me. She says, son, well, I'll give you two reasons why you are getting up and you are going to church. One, you're 45 years old. And two, you're the pastor. So get up. For whatever reason, you are here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you came from Decatur for Pastor Appreciation Day. Maybe you came because you heard there was going to be a free lunch. That's why I'm here. But whatever the reason that you are here today, it is not by accident, church. I believe with all my heart that if you're sitting in here this morning, God is divinely appointed for you to be here today. God has a word for all of us this morning. And I'm excited to be here. Now listen, in Texas we do things different. You hear things are louder and bigger in Texas. In Texas we believe in talking back to the preacher. I am kind of one of those coaches, teachers, preachers. If I feel like you're not getting it, I'm going to keep going over it until we get it. So I've got to get back to Texas. I've got animals to feed, so I can't be here till Tuesday. So let me hear from you. If the Spirit speaks, let me hear you. Talk to me. We're here together. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I wasn't sure when they asked me to preach today what I would preach, because I know my dad's probably preached most of my sermons and used all of my stories. John chapter 11.
He said the same thing about
you. You can't believe him. He's a preacher. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. It's a familiar story where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. The story of Lazarus is one of the most powerful miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament. Here we see Jesus not only as healer, but we see him as the resurrection and the life. What happened this day in Bethany reveals the person and the power and the purpose of Christ. For my note takers, we're going to tag this sermon with the title, Come Fourth, look at your neighbor and say, God has a word for you today. Look at your other neighbor and say, come forth. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. The tomb was sealed to the world. It was all over for Lazarus. But to Jesus, it was an opportunity to reveal his glory. When Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. He wasn't just calling a dead man from the grave. He was demonstrating that no grave can hold what belongs to God. Let's go to the text, John 11. As we read, I want us to look at three things. As we read this passage, I want us to look at the concept of Christ. I want us to look at the concern of Christ. And I want us to look at the call of Christ. We're going to start in verse 1 and going to go all the way through 44. Now, I know that's a lot. But put yourself in this scene. Put yourself in this picture. This is an amazing story. And as we read, I want you to think about the concept of Christ, the concern of Christ, and the call of Christ. If you are able, stand with me in honor of God's word as we read. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother, Lazarus, was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you loveth is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you want to go back? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And this confused the disciples even further. And Jesus finally said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you might believe. Nonetheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, so we can just die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting at the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? Amen. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come to the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but he was in a place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying she must be going to the tomb to weep.
Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you might believe. Sometimes God allows pain and tribulation to enter into our lives so that he can show us he's the same God in the valley that he is on the mountain. Yes. Listen to me. Faith is always the bridge between our brokenness and God's glory. Amen. Faith is always the bridge between our brokenness and God's glory. I used to sing a song called The Anchor Holds. Says the anchor holds though the ship is battered. The anchor holds though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I used to love to sing that song, but as the years have passed and I've walked through the trials and tribulations and heartbreak, those words have taken on a whole new meaning. Let me tell you. 5 years ago, I was running from God. My marriage was in shambles. My wife and I were separated, living in two separate homes, and both filed for divorce. I was flat on my face. But he left the 99 and chased me down. And today I'm standing in front of you preaching a sermon. Are you kidding me? My wife and I are together serving in a church in Texas. Are you kidding me? When I hear the anchor holds, church, I know now that the anchor really does hold. All my life I've known him as God, but now I know him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now I know him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The more tribulations I've gone through in my life, the more I understand that the anchor really does hold. In Romans 8, Paul writes, while he was in chains and in prison, he writes, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to come. He says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Church, I've noticed in my life that the people who have the deepest prayers are people who have gone through the deepest pain. If that's you today, hold on. God's got you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's taking you through the fire. So when you get to the other side, you can claim, like 1 Peter 5:10 says, the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong again. Stay with me, and I'm almost done. We've looked at the concept of Christ. We've looked at the concern of Christ. But as I hurry to the close, let's look at the call of Christ. Will you give me 5 more minutes? Y'all with me?
Yes.
The concept of Christ, the concern of Christ, and as I hurry, the call of Christ. In verse 38, they walked Jesus up to the tomb, and they said, Lazarus is dead, and he stinks. But Jesus said, he's not too dead for me. Your situation is not too dead that the Lord can't raise it up. Your situation is not so far gone that a word from God can't turn it around. It doesn't matter that he was dead for 4 days and his heart stopped beating. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose heart. It ain't over. I don't want to gross you out and get too graphic, but you've got to understand the totality of these words. For back then, with lack of modern medicine back in that day, it didn't matter that for 4 days bacteria had begun to grow, releasing enzymes which dissolved the body from the inside out. It did not matter that for 4 days his features became unrecognizable. It didn't matter that 10 minutes after death, flies arrived and laid 1,000s of eggs. It didn't matter that beetles showed up and feasted on the eggs. It didn't matter that spiders and millipedes showed up and ate the bugs who ate the beetles who ate the skin off of Lazarus. When Jesus stood outside the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Church, the millipedes had to spit out the bugs, who had to spit out the spiders, who had to spit out the flies, who had to spit out the flesh and put it back together again. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus stood up and showed, stretched and yawned and come walking out of the tomb. Church, the body that had been dead for 4 days stood up.
Give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm coming out today. I'm coming out today. All it takes is a word from Jesus. And Jesus is standing in front of you today saying, come forth. Everything in you that the devil tried to kill, he's got to spit it out. He's got to spit out your joy. Tell him, spit it out. He's got to spit out your peace. Spit it out. He's got to spit out your hope. Spit it out. When Jesus says, come forth, everything that the devil has stolen from you, he's got to spit it back out. Yes. Yep. Let your peace come forth. Let your hope come forth. Let your praise come forth. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out. Jesus is ready to put you back together again. Jesus is calling you, come forth. The scripture says that Lazarus came out bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Some of us today are bound by Satan's lies. We're bound by sin. We're bound by fear. We're bound by anger. We're bound by addiction. We're bound by unforgiveness. We're bound by guilt. The devil's lies have had us so wrapped up that your joy has been wrapped up. Your peace is wrapped up. You've been away from God so long, sin has got you wrapped up. The joy and peace in your marriage has been wrapped up. Unforgiveness has got you wrapped up. Anger and pride has got you wrapped up, but Jesus is calling you today. Come forth. He is ready to loose you and set you free. Amen. Whatever has got you wrapped up today, Jesus can set you free. When Jesus calls your name, grave clothes fall off. When Jesus calls your name, chains break. When Jesus calls your name, new life begins. The same Jesus that called Lazarus from the tomb is calling you today. Come forth. How sad would it have been when Jesus stood outside the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. If Lazarus was just lay there and thought, no, I'm just too comfortable. Whatever the enemy has got you wrapped up with, don't stay where you are. Jesus is standing in front of you today saying, come forth. He's ready to loose you and set you free. Will you answer his call? Bow your heads with me.